Today, open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. We will read the chapter, then we'll come back and we're going to pull some principles out of this chapter. As I mentioned, the first 12 chapters of Hebrews, all this doctrine has been laid out, if you will. And now it comes to true faith demands true living. True faith demands true living. Let's pray. Father, once again, we want to thank you for this opportunity you've given us to open up your word and to read the revelation you've given us. I ask, Father, that you open the eyes and the ears of the hearers this morning and those that's going to be listening down the road on the internet. Grant them the eyes to see into the truth of your word. Because once we know that truth will set us free. I ask once again, Father, that you will empower me by your Holy Spirit to proclaim your word for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who have served the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, that we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words, knowing that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. True faith demands true living. Chapter 13 of Hebrews. In your bulletins, we're going to look at some practical exhortations that the writer of Hebrews is giving to those to live the true faith. As one writer says, you've had the doctrine to the duty, now we go into the position to the practice. So this morning, in your bulletins, we're going to look at two areas, and in these areas, a few principles that we need to put in our life if we don't have them. We're going to look at some selected scriptures that we can apply in our lives to love one another and to honor God. Specific down-to-earth doctrine for Christians to live by is Hebrews chapter 13. Let's start once again and read verses 1 through 6. Hebrews 13, 1 through 6 states, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in a body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things that you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So, under to one another, true faith demands true living. To one another, we can look at brotherly love. We can look at brotherly love. Over in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Let's look at this text, this new commandment. John 13, verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself, and glorify Him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek Me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going you cannot come. So now I say to you." Now we get this new commandment. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." There's many other texts in the New Testament that talks about this brotherly love. That as Christians, we're supposed to love one another. And what a great testimony that Christ gave us, that the world will know that we are His disciples if we have what? Love for one another. Over in the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me read verses 1, 2, 3 to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." So as we can see, true faith demands true living. Brotherly love. We need to behave like a Christian. We need to be hospitable. The new commandment, love one another, is brotherly love. Hospitality. Be hospitable to one another. We need to honor marriage. And we do not covet. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21 states, so if we behave like a Christian. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have a regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Great principles to live by. From chapter 13 in Hebrews, we need to love one another, brotherly love, be hospitable. Now, two more from the same chapter, verses 4 and 5. It says, marriage. Marriage is honorable among all, and a bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things that you have. The marriage is honorable. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see what Paul said to the church at Ephesus on this. Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 12. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for God, to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Like verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak those things which are done by them in secret. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Just look at what Paul, he talked to the church at Ephesus. Now he's going to talk to the Corinthians about sexual purity. You see, fornication, the definition of fornication is sexual intercourse between unmarried persons. God will judge. He has judged. We know that if you have lived in that lifestyle, He will judge you. Many Christians have lived in that lifestyle. And if you live in that lifestyle, you will know that God will discipline His children. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, the Corinthian church had many gifts. It goes through and looks at the gifts in chapter 12 that they had. But you see, they had some problems in the church too. It's in every church. And believe me, God will discipline His children. I have been disciplined in the area when I was a younger Christian, where I fell in this area and God disciplined me almost to the point of death. You see, God's Word is true. He says, let God's Word be true and every man a liar. The 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. We got some great exhortations and some warnings from the text of Scripture. You can't mess around with marriage. You can't mess around with fornication or covetousness. Marriage is to be honored. Marriage is to be honored. If you do not honor marriage, God will judge you, as the text says. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, before, because of these things the wrath of God comes upon those. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. It says, immorality must be judged. It says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet, I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or idolaters. Since then, you would need to come out of the world. Now listen to what he says here. That now, I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. A brother. He's talking about Christians. Okay? Do not keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Here in the study Bible, they got some great commentary on this. You see, states here, Paul here corrects a misunderstanding coming from a previous letter. He had commanded the Corinthians to withdraw themselves from sexually immoral people. In this letter, Paul explains that he was not speaking of the pagan culture around them. If they withdrew totally, they would be unable to function in the world. Instead, he was talking about the immorality in the midst of them, in the church. They should judge the sin among themselves while still reaching out to the lost in Corinth. You see, Christians are called to influence the world, not to run away from it. We are salt and light in the world. We are agents of God, taking our light into the dark world. But verse 11 is very interesting. It says, not even to eat with such a person. Eating together is a key part of fellowship. We all know that. And closeness with one another. You see, the Corinthians were not to have fellowship with those who claimed to be Christians, whose lives were dominated by sin. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 20. You see, from Hebrews chapter 13, we're looking at these principles on truth, faith demands true living toward one another. And this is that marriage is honorable and do not covet. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 20 states, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach, and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, very, very strong warnings and exhortations from a text of Scriptures that sexual immorality is wrong, and that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it should be for God's glory, not for the glory of the flesh or the world of the devils. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at this on covet. Do not covet. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So as we can see, true faith demands true living toward one another. Brotherly love, hospitality, honor marriage, do not covet. But we've been walking through with Pastor John MacArthur in his commentary, and I'm going to read some this morning about the marriage bed is to be undefiled. He states, God is serious about sexual purity. Men and women may play around with unlawful, improper sex, illicit sex, and be perfectly right, perfectly within their right in the eyes of most people. But in the eyes of God, it is always sin and will always be judged. Paul warns, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The apostle also tells us to flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body. But the immoral man sins against his own body. Immorality, porneia, fornication, is from the same basic Greek term as fornicators. In other words, the same sexual sin is involved in two passages. Sexual sin not only is against God and other persons, it is also against ourselves. Part of our moral responsibility then to ourselves is to be sexually pure. The world as we know today is obsessed with sex as never before. It is not possible to live and act against the moral grain of the universal establishment that God set without suffering the consequences from Him. You see, when Christians are immoral, the immediate consequences may be even worse because the testimony of the gospel is polluted in. You see, within marriage, sex is beautiful, fulfilling, creative. Outside marriage, it is ugly, destructive, and damning. He even says, Ephesians 5, we read it, that do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as it is proper among the saints. It shouldn't be among the saints, he's stating there. So true faith demands true living. We as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to love one another, brotherly love. We need to be hospitable to one another, helping one another in the areas we know we can do that. God has provided for us. We need to honor marriage. And we need to be content and do not covet. Now, let's go to number two. Back to the opening text. Back to the opening text. Go down to verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. It This is a very challenging chapter if you look at it in today's society, no different than back then. That's why true faith demands true living. True faith demands true living. Hebrews 13, verse 7 now. We're going to look at, we looked at to one another, true faith demands true living. And now we're going to look at to God. True faith demands true living to God. Verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the conduct of the outcome of their conduct. Verse 7, I want to speak to leaders. So to God, you might want to put in there, A, leaders. Hebrews 13, chapter 7 says, leaders, we need to speak the word of God. We need to speak the word of God. And we need to walk obedient to His word. We can see that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. The text states, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. It says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You see, leaders, we need to speak boldly the word of God. Because we know the time will come, as the text says, that people will not endure sound doctrine. Man of God, we need to be blameless. We need to be a good steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. We need to be hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast a faithful word, that we may be able to what? By sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. That's from a text of Titus chapter 1. So leaders, we have a great responsibility that we're going to be held accountable to. But look at verse 8 in Hebrews chapter 13. This is for believers, verse 8 through 17. Verse 8 through 17. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we got some exhortations here for believers. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. It says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. We'll go back and we'll look at that a little more. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the camp. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, that we seek the one to come. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Verse 17. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy, and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. From this text here, I want to look at a few things. Number one, that true faith demands true living to God is for believers. Do not be deceived. Verse 8 and 9 says, do not be deceived. And also, be separate from the systems of religion. We'll look a little deeper in this and look at some text on this. But number one, believers, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by false teachers. Do not be deceived by riches. And do not be deceived by false religion. I want to focus on one main text on this from Scripture. You know, you can go back to the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Verses 19 through 21 state. I want to read that to you. We'll go into Colossians after that. So Matthew 6, 19 through 21 states, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Don't let riches deceive you. Do not let riches deceive you. Do not let false religion deceive you. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 8, starting in verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Down through 23. It says, "Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, and buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. In you being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Verse 16. "So, let no one judge you in food, or in drink, or regarding a festival, or new moon, or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, in worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." Do not be deceived by false teachers, false religions, and the riches of this world. They will not control the indulgence of the flesh. If you look out and keep your spiritual eyes open and you see people teaching a system instead of a Savior, you will see that eventually they will not control the indulgence of the flesh through that system, because they are no value against the indulgence of the flesh, as Colossians chapter 2 says. So do not be deceived, believer. Also be separate, believer. Be separate from the systems of religions of the world. Or, leave the system, come to the Savior. Leave the system. Come to the Savior. 2 Corinthians, once again. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. This cries out to the Corinthians, be separate. Come out from among them, it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness? So what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You see, over in Galatians 2, a great warning that Paul gave the church of Galatians. He says, if anybody preaches any other gospel than what I have preached, he says, let him be accursed. We got to be separate from a system. Notice how the text in Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about Jesus suffered outside the gate. He wasn't part of the system. He wasn't part of the system. So as you can see, we take that to our lives. You cannot come to the Savior by a system. No system or work. No amount of good works can bring you to the Savior. You have to come by grace through faith. Right? It is a gift from God, not of ourselves. John chapter 17 says, the great priestly prayer of Christ, John 17, verse 15 through 18. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So we can't totally separate ourselves from the world. We got to go out there and be salt and light for the world. But you can't, you got to separate yourself from a system of work salvation to come to the Savior by grace through faith. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 says, 1 John 2, 15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We have to leave the system and come to the Savior. Now, I want us to close. In concluding, though, I'm going to give you a little more insight about what's going on in the book of Hebrews. Once again, from a commentary of John MacArthur. Because it's real interesting. Because you think, well, I don't know what's really going on there. Why does he say, leave the system? He went outside the gate. Says, let us go to him outside the gate. You see, the practical point is that Christian, we must be willing to go out from the system to bear his reproach and the shame that both the sin offering and Christ himself bore. We are to be rejected by men. Rejected by the system. Think about this, though. For the Jews to whom the book of Hebrews is written, separation from the world system meant separation from Judaism. What they were brought up into. You may have been brought up to a tradition, a system that says you have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 10 to have salvation. You have to be willing to leave that separation, that system, and be separated to Christ through faith. In Christ and Christ alone. So think about this again. These Jews, they had to be willing to be separated from the world system, which at that time for them was Judaism. God, so to speak, was no longer in a camp of Judaism. You see, whatever significance in importance of the Old Covenant, the traditional ceremonies, the regulations, the standards of Judaism once had, as we can see through the book of Hebrews, they were invalid. They had to leave that system. You see, God now does His work completely outside the camp of Judaism. The moment Jesus died on the cross, we know, the text says, the veil of the temple was torn in two. And now, men could go into the Holy of Holies. They could come and approach God, which before, God was unapproachable to them. They had to go to the high priest. And we know that Jesus Christ is our new high priest. Separation from a system does not mean separation from unbelievers. We've seen that from several texts. As far as separation is concerned here, separation is from the world system. Me and you, as I read in 1 John, we're supposed to separate ourselves from the world, from the lust of the flesh, from the lust of the eyes, and from the pride of life. That's what true separation is. We cannot be under the world system that says you have to have this and that to be happy. We are to test all things. We are to hold to what is good. We are to abstain from every form of evil. We are to be separated and be salt and light to a lost world. That's the separation that he's talking about. Separation from the system to the Savior and from the world to really abiding in Christ. As Jesus said, if you want to be joyful, you need to abide in me. In John chapter 15. Let's go to that. It's John chapter 15. If you want true joy, you have to abide in Him. John chapter 15, starting in verse 5. John chapter 15, starting in verse 5. Let's go 5 all the way down to 17. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I'll stop there. So you want joy? We need to abide in Christ. We need to be separate from the world system. And let's close with Hebrews 13, 18 through 25, the conclusion. It says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. For I have written to you in few words, knowing that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Today, true faith demands true living. From Hebrews chapter 13, we looked at practical exhortations for Christians. Doctrine to duty. Position to practice. If we have true faith, and true living, to one another we will have brotherly love, hospitality, we will honor marriage, we will not covet. To God, leaders, we will speak and teach the true Word of God. We will not compromise His Word for man. We will strive to walk obedient to His Word. And believers, we will not be deceived by false teachers, the riches of the world, or false religion. We will be separate. You must lead the system of salvation by works and come to the Savior by faith. And as Romans chapter 6, verse 13, God's little promises today in your bulletin, it pretty well sums it up. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's a prayer. What a prayer for us to look at. That I want to be an instrument of righteousness to Almighty God, not an instrument of unrighteousness to sin. You see, that's true faith, demands true living. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we close this morning, once again, I want to thank You for Your Word. And we know Your Word is true, and when it is presented, it will not return void. So I want to thank You for that. I pray that You will sink Your Word deep into our hearts and minds of those who's listening. Bring us into the truth of Your Word, powered by the Holy Spirit, so we may live a life pleasing to You. For those who have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, that You will continually grant them that opportunity. But as we know, that opportunity may one day be gone. So those who are going to listen to this CD, that You will, if they hear Your Word, they will accept Your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. And not die in their sins and be eternally separated from God in hell. Lord, help us, Your true believers, to walk a life worthy of the calling, pleasing to God, for Your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.